Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. Tonight we'll be looking at today's Grand Prix and everything that's sprung from that. So it's Paul again, and I'm here with...
Chris. Lee.
So it's been an interesting race today. Certainly more to talk about than Australia provided with us a couple of weeks ago. And Ferrari are back.
Yep, it was a pretty awesome race.
Or to quote Nico, game on, Ferrari.
Yeah. All he needed then was the Dr. Evil little finger to the mouth, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, but he runs McLaren.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
He's going to get in the way of Ferrari so much, being third all the time.
I know, yeah. Game on! I finished two places behind you. Come on, Nico, grow up a little bit. I think it's quite clear now, isn't it? Ferrari are the main competitors for Mercedes to... not even look back over their shoulder at the moment.
Kind of look in front of them a bit sideways.
Yeah, absolutely. The Ferrari had an awesome race. Sebastian Vettel was back to his best doing what he does, or what he did during those 4 years at Red Bull where he won consecutive championships. Just pumped in lap after lap after lap of awesome times. When an advantage came his way, he took it.
Yeah.
And
he didn't put a foot wrong for the whole race.
No, he was very, very good, very precise and efficient, as you'd expect the Germans to be. Mercedes, however, on the other hand, the other Germans, not so much.
Yeah.
But Kimi Raikkonen also had a good race.
Yeah, well, look at the pit stops for Ferrari. I mean, when the safety car came in and they kept the cars out,
mm-hmm.
that the confidence they had in that car to do that was amazing.
Yeah, I have to admit, I did wonder what they were doing at first, but then... they managed to keep the tyres because the main thing was going to be how quickly are the mediums going to degrade.
Yeah.
And both Ferrari drivers just got the out-and-out best out of the sets of mediums that they started with.
Yeah, but in all honesty, Kimi actually had a pit stop, hadn't he, because he had a puncture in that first lap. So when the safety car came out, that gave him a chance to catch everybody back up again. And he did start from the back of the train, but he fought his way through. And looking at his pace... it looked like he might have got a podium at one point, but he just missed out. And he wasn't so happy in his post-race interviews. And I think it's because he believes he should have won that race. Without the puncture, I think he would have done.
That's Kimi, though. He's that, I'm not using a pun here, but driven. He thinks that he should win any race because he's just got that, he's got that confidence about him.
Yeah.
And he's there for one reason, and for one reason only, to win, because... he is the win at all costs driver.
I still think if he hadn't have been held up in Q2 and dropped out, that he would have been on pole, because it was like the 900ths of a second. What was it? Or something like that?
That was held up by, was it Ericsson?
Yeah, it was Ericsson.
It was less than a tenth, wasn't it? Well, no, that Vettel was second.
Mm.
And Raikkonen's had a tenth on Vettel, just on one lap pace.
Yeah.
In Australia and here, so
it's hard to call that one, because I do think that Vettel is a better driver in the wet than Kimi. I mean, he proved that with his first win for Toro Rosso when he put it on pole and won in two wet sessions.
Yeah.
So it could have been an all Ferrari front row, certainly.
Yeah.
If Vettel would have had Kimi to push him.
Yeah.
Because I think that's one thing that Vettel needs, is a good teammate who can push him and who he thinks he can beat. This is where it went wrong for him last season, because he just resigned himself to, the car's not as good, why bother trying as hard? And Ricciardo got more out of the car than he did.
Well, people forget that about Webber, don't they? Webber was no slouch on a single lap, in qualifying. He was a good qualifier.
That is true. So Mercedes didn't really have the best of days today.
No, you could almost argue that they've become a little bit lazy and a little bit complacent. I mean, we don't even have to argue it. Toto Wolff pretty much said after the race that's what happened, by saying that they didn't optimise everything to the best of its capabilities. They tried to eke out the life of the tyre instead of pushing for performance in their car. And it cost them, because their two drivers got stuck in traffic after the safety car restart, and Vettel just danced off into the distance. And that is probably what cost them the race. I mean, Vettel would have been with them anyway, but we saw in Australia when Nico got close to Lewis would pull away a little bit, They could have controlled the pace of the race if they had stayed out front, but they didn't get the chance to because Sebastian was too far in front. And this is what happens when you get when you dominate for so long.
Yeah, I think they thought they had it in the bag, and
they didn't.
They didn't.
What I was interested in was the fact that I understand that it was sort of a tyre limited race, and Lewis was almost back to a couple of years ago. Lewis, you know, where he just couldn't keep his rears for love nor money.
That's it. Yeah.
But even when he came out of the pits, I expected for at least maybe even two laps to take a second out of, you know, out of Vettel.
Yeah.
Or two, you know, 2 seconds almost, because you've always wondered whether have Mercedes got that time in their pocket. Whereas I think they were running on their ultimate pace today. I don't think they could have gone any quicker.
They got their setup wrong, basically. Yeah. And Lewis saying towards the end of the race that it was these are the wrong tyres, man. Yeah. It was the tyres they had to put on the car because of the way that the car was set up to run towards the end of the race.
Yeah, it was the last new unused set of anything that they had in the garage.
That's it, yeah.
And with the distance, a set of used mediums wouldn't have gotten to the end.
Not at all.
You know, it'd have got a few extra seconds from it, but it'd have lost that in a pit stop that he would have been forced to make.
Yeah.
When those tyres completely went on him.
Yeah, I mean, we did see Grumpy Lewis for a little while, didn't we, over the radio?
Yeah.
We saw him for a little while after the race. He seemed to calm down a little bit when he was talking to Sebastian. And, you know, I think he thought, well, we were fairly beaten today. So, you know, surprising as it was a fair contest.
Yeah. Sky made a good point about you can always tell when it's Grumpy Lewis because he calls people man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, yeah. Don't talk to me, man.
Don't talk to me in the corners, man. Yeah. I nearly crashed.
That's it. Man. Man.
The other interesting thing about this is, I remember in pre-season testing, when they were talking about, the drivers were talking about the car, like the Mercedes car, saying, yeah, it's quick, but it's really difficult to find a setup for it. That I remember Lewis and Nico both complaining that the car was difficult to set up. That makes me wonder whether, is this going to be a theme for circuits through the year?
Right, yeah.
Because obviously Australia is a much massively different circuit to Malaysia.
Yeah.
So, is this going to be the... Because there's more Malaysians on the calendars than there is...
Australians. Yeah.
So is this going to be a problem for Mercedes through the year?
Serious heat the today car as well, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, there is the heat. But I just thought the setup... It was interesting that they kept saying that they didn't have the right setup.
Yeah, that's a good point to make as well. But going back to the drivers, we had Grumpy Lewis for a while. Nico seemed confused as to why Vettel was anywhere near him on the racetrack. What's going on? And you know, he was told that they both had one stop to make. He wanted it to be simplify it for me, please. But then, Rosberg's demeanour after the race was very bizarre. It was almost like he was smug that Lewis hadn't won.
Yeah.
Even though he hadn't won either, he had this weird beaming smile on his face. And then, as we already mentioned, that game on Ferrari. I don't know why I went all Stewie Griffin there, but that's what it was like. It was like almost like an evil smugness. Like, if I was Paddy Lowe and Toto Wolff, I'd be pulling him to one side after the race and going like, "What was that?"
But even the way he stood on the podium was weird. You know, like he stood as soon as they got a chance to come off the podium, he was stood well away on his own in the corner.
Mm.
And like even like the stance and the manner of the man, you know, he was hands on hip, and you know, it was really strange.
I think the whole Lewis and Nico are best of friends again.
They didn't speak to each other.
Media hogwash. I think it's a case of they've been told to get on professionally, and they're doing that, but I think whatever friendship they had or claim to have had in the past between each other, that is history now after last season.
Yeah, I think the friendly rivalry is gone. I mean, we saw in qualifying as well, didn't we, on Saturday, Rosberg's kind of half attempt to block off Lewis when Lewis was on a flying lap. Didn't really get out of the way in time, although Lewis said, "Oh, I don't remember it." Why was Rosberg not moving out of the way if he knew that his teammate was coming up behind him? And I made this point talking in conversation yesterday that Rosberg needs to not play these games so early on in the season. He needs to concentrate on racing, doing his talking on the track, much as what Lewis Hamilton always says he has to do. He tries to do his talking on the track by racing hard. Why is Rosberg, you know, we had it with the, oh, it's a champion's drive in Australia, and now we've got it here again with just try and destroy his fast lap.
I still think with the champion's drive thing, where I said the first time when we were talking about it, that I think he's beaten. He was beaten before the first race, before qualifying in Australia. He was already beaten. And this weekend, he stopped himself because he knew he couldn't match Lewis's time for pole. He stopped himself having a shout at being second on the grid to try and stop Hamilton getting a quick lap in.
Yeah.
And it's not the way to do it. If he wants to stop him being on pole, he needs to put his car on pole.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a wake-up call for Mercedes today. It really is. We've been expecting dominance all season, and it doesn't look like it's going to be...
Yeah, I predicted Ferrari would get a win this season, but I didn't think it would be until well into after the races had started in Europe. I think it took all of us by surprise that it was going to be so soon.
Mm. Yeah.
And are cracks starting to appear in the team Mercedes? I think yes.
Possibly. I think it's an interesting idea.
It's going back to the old football analogy. Once they cross that white line, there's very little that the coach and whoever else is on the sidelines can do. And it is all about the team that's actually on the field competing.
Yeah.
And if those two are competing with each other, and in Nico's case himself, then it's not going to be in the best interests.
Yeah, I mean,
this is going to be one to follow for the rest of the season, for certain.
It is.
On to Williams now. We said at the start of the season we thought they were going to be the best of the rest. So it now looks like they're the best of the rest of the rest, because Ferrari are up there with the best.
I said at the start of the season I didn't think they were going to be best of the rest, and I thought they were going to be back to Williams mediocrity.
Okay, I said at the start of the season. I think I've been proved wrong today.
Yeah, Williams mediocrity being top of the second tier, if you will, now. Well, for today anyway, at least. I mean, they were almost a non-entity. We didn't see an awful lot of them on track in the television coverage. But it was a solid performance. They had a little bit of an inter-team battle with Bottas and Massa, and
which Bottas won. I was waiting for it to come over the radio that Valtteri is faster than you. Do you understand?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but that didn't happen. And
Massa was quite rude at one point there, if I remember rightly, as well.
Yeah,
but I think especially for teammates, I thought he crossed the line once for being a bit too aggressive with Valtteri.
Mm.
But they had a good inter-team battle, and they came home. They bought it was fifth and sixth, I believe the Williamses were. So you know, you're kind of two Ferraris, two Mercedes, and then as you say, best of the rest were the Williams in fifth and sixth. A solid performance. But if they're going to be anywhere near Mercedes or Ferrari, they need to build on
that.
Really,
it's good points that came for Williams, and it's good to see Williams score on points. But whereas last year, I think they were flattered by Ferrari, Red Bull, and McLaren. Now Ferrari have jumped ahead of them. Mm-hmm. They're only being flattered by Red Bull and McLaren. So, you know, these teams aren't going to stay where they are. Especially, I think, oddly enough, Red Bull are going to have more problems going forward than maybe McLaren will. Because I still think when McLaren fix some of their issues, I think they're going to jump Williams, maybe halfway through the season, maybe further towards the end, but as soon as they can whack that engine up and they get a bit of reliability about it, I think they'll be ahead of them.
Well, it's a Jenson Button soundbite again, isn't it? We won't win the first race of the season,
but we might win the last.
We might win the last.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned Red Bull. What can we say apart from backwards?
Just a little bit. Being overtaken by their junior team. Junior in more ways than one.
That's, hang on, how would they put it? That's not whack, that's bluff.
It's not extreme to the max.
No.
It's definitely not extreme to the max.
Certainly not.
It's extreme to the max disappointment for Red Bull at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the falling out with Renault, although Renault have apologised to Adrian Newey.
For calling him a liar.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, that.
Yeah. Basically, wasn't new. He said it's difficult because it's the engine, and then Renault's manager said, "Well, it's difficult when you have a partner who always tells lies."
This doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't look good. And I can see Toro Rosso doing a better job with the Renault engine. And I can see Red Bull perhaps using somebody else. Maybe next year, year after.
Is it going to have to be a new manufacturer? Are they going to go with the Mercedes engine? Would Mercedes supply them?
They've already said no. They said they tried to get Mercedes engines for this year, didn't they? And or was it for last year? But when the rule change happened, and Mercedes just point blank wouldn't supply them engines. They don't want an aging new car with their engine. It's
I suppose if Mercedes want an Adrian Newey car with their engine in it, they will hire Adrian Newey themselves.
Well, they tried that as well.
No, that's true.
They did try that, and then the Red Bull signed him a golden handcuffs. Well, that's really worked very well for them, hasn't it?
Well, he's boat building.
He's building a boat, which would have been a good idea on Saturday's qualifying when they stopped it for 15 minutes.
Nice segue.
Miss?
I've got a feeling that when that happened, they turned up to Adrian Newey's house in a massive van, the same shape as a can of Red Bull, opened the back up, and a guy was there with loads of bags. Going, each one of these bags has £10 million in it. We're just going to keep leaving them here until you say stop.
Yeah, but on track, things are not going right for Red Bull. Both Danny's, Kvyat and Ricciardo, both said it was very difficult. They struggled today in the Grand Prix. Trying to get the balance was difficult. And Ricciardo was saying that every time they tried to change something to make it easier for themselves, they ended up paying a consequence of losing out more time. And it just, as you say, they went backwards. And it is embarrassing that both Toro Rosso's finished ahead of them.
Yeah. What can you say about Toro Rosso apart from wow?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're the other end of the scale. I mean, we all questioned their driver lineup when they announced two teenagers for this season, and then today Max Verstappen became the youngest ever point scoring Formula One driver,
and will probably have that record for good because you've got to be 18 to get a super license from next season.
Well, that's it. Yeah, absolutely. Unless Mick Schumacher gets signed by somebody this season, Manor Mauritius signs somebody who miraculously score a point.
If they actually exist, because I did not see that car today.
No, it was disappointing that Will Stevens didn't make the grid, but Roberto Meri did very, very well to finish the race for them, even. But it's not good for the sport to only have one car from one team running. But they're going back to the Red Bull Toro Rosso thing. I mean, some of Max Verstappen's driving today was brilliant.
That wasn't a 17-year-old driving. He's got an old head on young shoulders.
Absolutely.
Do give Carlos Sainz an honourable mention as well.
Oh yeah.
He was eighth by the end of the first lap.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did really well.
Yeah. No, I think they have... I mean, this is what the Red Bull Young Drivers Programme is there to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow, they've got it right.
Oh, yeah.
To the max.
To the max for Verstappen.
Oh!
just quickly, before we move on and start talking about other teams, talking about the Renault and Red Bull thing, do you think this could be the end of Red Bull? I know they've been... like they tell and say, oh, well, we might leave the sport if things don't run our way. If Renault won't supply them engines, and they don't want to be a customer team for someone without the, you know, the manufacturer's backing,
mm-hmm.
What are they going to do? Because let's face it, unless Audi or Ford or VW or Porsche or something like that, or in a lab somewhere, and they're making a Formula One engine, and they have been for the last 2 or 3 years, it's not like a manufacturer can just step forward. I mean, McLaren had to do 2 years on Mercedes power,
yeah,
waiting for what?
The Honda development.
Yeah. Or lack of.
Yeah.
Underdevelopment.
There's all these stories coming out about Renault. Are they going to pull out of F1? Are they going to buy a team? There's all the stories coming out about Red Bull. Are they going to pull out? surely a marriage of convenience would be for Renault to buy Red Bull.
Well, it's been put to Franz Tost, the head of Toro Rosso, recently, in an interview that, you know, what if Renault were to buy your team? And he actually said, oh, that would be quite good, having a backing of a major manufacturer behind us. But it's not the right thing to say, really.
No, but the strange thing is about all this, they're saying, well, what if Renault was to buy Toro Rosso? I wasn't aware Toro Rosso was for sale.
It used to be, but then they decided to keep it for themselves in house.
Yep.
as a separate wing of the Red Bull, whatever they are,
empire.
When they started getting a degree of success, and is it going to be a case of they sell the main team because all is not sweetness and light there?
No, it isn't.
The for instance, if Red Bull stay, and this is something I'm worried about at the minute by watching Toro Rosso outperform Red Bull, because I really like Danny Ricciardo. I think he's, you know, he's arguably world championship material. Red Bull, because of Toro Rosso, or with Toro Rosso, have thrown good drivers under the bus before. So if Red Bull sell Toro Rosso, and Max Verstappen and Carlos Sainz are doing really well, will they just plonk them in the Red Bull this year and essentially sacrifice Daniel Ricciardo and Danny Kvyat?
I think they would sacrifice one of them, not both of them.
Well, I don't think Kvyat's going to work anyway. But if they think that they're going to keep Max Verstappen because he's too young and too good not to give a chance to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Carlos Sainz, if he keeps doing what he's doing for the rest of the year, I think Danny Ricciardo might be in a bit of bother. He might be looking elsewhere.
I think they all might be in a bit of bother, the entire team.
I mean, right now, moving either of the Toro Rosso drivers up to the main Red Bull team would actually be a step backwards for them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, that's practically unthinkable.
Mm-hmm.
Moving backwards down the field, Force India.
Yeah, a terrible race. Awful.
Day to forget.
Yeah, I mean, it looks as though they might have a car worth, you know, worth something.
Eventually.
Yeah. when they eventually put the car out, and they did okay in Australia, but yeah, today really was a day to forget. Both drivers took penalties.
Is it still a B-spec car?
I don't know. They have upgrades. They did say they had upgrades coming for Malaysia. Whether or not they've actually bolted them to the car, I don't know.
Yeah. And apparently, it still hasn't seen a wind tunnel.
Still hasn't seen it, so it's not doing too bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that it would still be a B-spec car. It's not the finished article. Basically, yeah. It's 2014 and a half with the 2015 engine in it. But yeah, both Force India drivers were terrible today. Hülkenberg, for all the promise that he's had in the past, just appears to be fading very, very quickly. He'd be surprised if he gets a drive next year if he carries on driving like this.
Mm. I'm surprised he had his drive this year, to be honest, because,
yeah.
I mean, Sergio, we know why he's there. He's not a bad driver.
He does have a lot of backing.
He has
a
lot of backing with him. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think Hülkenberg's got the same sort of backing to him.
That's it. And with Gutierrez not currently in a race seat, Sergio Perez is going to be the poster boy for the Mexican Grand Prix. Yeah. He's going to be the driver that brings people to Mexico.
Mm-hmm. I've just got to wonder, is Gutierrez going to be in the other Force India by the time it gets to Mexico so they can get the maximum amount of publicity out of it for Vijay Mallya's branding, which is all over the car?
Yeah,
he's a shameless self-publicist.
Absolutely,
so.
Yeah. I mean, I think Gutierrez will either be in that car, or he may have taken the Manor seat by that point.
Which appears to be up for auction or raffle.
Well, that's it. It's a Ferrari development. It's Ferrari,
yeah,
link, isn't it? So I think we will see Ferrari drivers at some point in the Manor car.
Mm-hmm.
If they ever get to running two cars on a weekend.
We'll look at that one in a bit. Lotus.
Lotus just as terrible as Force India. I don't know what Pastor Maldonado was thinking.
No. That implies that Pastor Maldonado thinks.
Well, it does, yeah. Romain Grosjean, again, what a... You know, It was six of one, half a dozen of the other. A little bit harsh on Perez to give him the penalty that they gave him.
Yeah.
But also, Grosjean must know that he was going to run out of room at some point going doing that move.
That it was always going to become smaller, that gap.
He was very lucky.
It's Grosjean's thing, though. He can't gauge gaps. He's never been able to. He will just try and put the car on the bit of track without thinking there's going to be another car coming across that any second.
Yeah, that's it. But, I mean, he was very, very lucky that at such a high-speed spin, he didn't either go into the gravel or into a wall and managed to continue into the race.
Was it before that corner, before the incident, when he was darting around behind the back of the car? I can't remember who it was.
It was earlier on in the race, was when I think it was one of the Mercedes were coming through, and Grosjean was just completely caught napping.
Yeah,
and as Lewis Hamilton.
No. There was another. I think it was before they got into that position. I'm sure it was a Red Bull he was trying to get past. I can't remember properly, but he was darting from side to side behind this car, and he's just looking at him going, it's the same thing. Roman's either slow or looks like he's going to have an accident.
Yeah,
and he usually does.
Yeah,
and he very nearly had a very serious one today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as Chris put on the live blog, both Lotuses in an accident. No surprises there.
No, absolutely not. One of the Saubers, though, having a very silly accident at the beginning of the race, Marcus Ericsson, which brought out the
safety car.
Such a good performance in qualifying as well.
Great performance in qualifying. Good performance. A strong performance in Australia as well.
Yeah.
He just outbraked himself into that turn and. Most of the drivers would have taken the long way round and decided to rejoin the circuit and lost a couple of seconds. He tried to still make the corner, spun the car around and went backwards into the gravel, got it beached, and because of the new rules of what happened after Jules Bianchi's accident last year, when the crane came onto the circuit, the safety car had already been called out.
Were you surprised the safety car came out at that point? Because I'd have thought it would have been quicker and safer for double-waved yellows and for the marshals just to push him back out of the gravel.
I think it was on a fast corner, and it's the case of, well, if one of them can do it, somebody else could.
Yeah.
And end up
that
in exactly
they can,
the
they
same
can still
position.
Do it under a safety car, though.
And also, I think there are some rules about pushing a car back onto a race. I think it has to be under their own power. They have to get there.
Unless it's for safety reasons. In the rules, you're not allowed to help a driver get back onto the circuit. But if it's in a dangerous position, which I think that almost certainly was, they could have cleared that car within seconds if they had just pushed him.
But you've got to think safety first, especially after what happened with Jules Bianchi's accident.
No, I think they did the right thing in bringing out the safety car. It takes away a little from the spectacle, but we want driver safety.
Just a quick note, though, that if we talk about safety, and that's why the safety car came out. Jules Bianchi's accident happened under a safety car under completely different conditions.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the whole point I'm having is that the safety issue was having the crane there.
Yeah.
So it just struck me as odd.
I think it's balancing it out between what are the conditions, what are the racing conditions, where are the cars on track, where's the safety car going to come out, where is everyone going to be picked up, and if we put the safety car out immediately and enforce the speed restrictions, then by the time everyone gets back to turn one, we can have the car lifted, the crane will be moving.
Yeah. Speed's regulated,
and there was a lot more visibility today, obviously, than there was under Bianchi's unfortunate accident.
I've just realised when your man from Manor, I've just realised the only time that he was mentioned during the whole race is he didn't realise that he had to keep to a time delta behind the safety car and catch up to the back of it. And that's why he held up Fernando, Jensen, and Kimi.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Although Maldonado did that as well and found himself penalised.
Yes, he did, yeah. And the other sound, but just going back to the sound team, Felipe Nasr, he had a less impressive performance than he had in Australia. Maybe it was debutant's luck in Australia, but, I mean, he was thereabouts. You know, it wasn't a terrible race for him.
It's kind of where
we expect Sauber to be.
It's more than you can say for Sauber last season. The improvements are still there.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be having great races every time.
No.
But after last year, they're not going to be having an absolute nightmare every time. So any improvement is good improvement, because they were really starting at zero from this year, or less than.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I noticed on the onboard cameras for Sauber as well, it looks really easy to drive that car. You know, it seems so smooth when he was going round, and I think that's going to help them a lot. You know, if your car's not as quick as everybody else's, if you can make it a bit easier to handle, it's going to help, isn't it?
Mm. Could be down to driver style as well.
Could be, yeah.
I mean, there are some drivers that relish the fight with a car.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, you look at Alonso when there's the onboard of him, and he looks like he's doing battle with it constantly. Even when he was winning championships, he was fighting that car all the way. But that's how he gets the best out of every car. The Sauber drivers, without having the same amount of experience or being used to the way that the cars are set up in different formula, they're maybe used to an easier drive, so they've fitted the car around them. It might have compromised a little bit of speed, but it makes it easier to drive for them.
Possibly, yeah, I didn't think of that.
Now, cars that are a nightmare to drive. A couple of silver, red and black ones spring to mind here.
Sparkly silver, red and
black. Sparkly silver, red and black.
The livery has changed. Ron Dennis was right.
Yes.
It's metallic.
Okay, so we've managed to say something good about them. Now let's tell the truth.
Yeah. I didn't say it was good.
All right.
Well, they were actually quite upbeat today, both McLaren drivers, despite the fact they had a double retirement due to technical problems.
I think Fernando's was ERS and Jensen's was turbo.
Yeah.
Although I did hear today that Jensen was on his second engine of the weekend.
Already?
Yeah, I found that good strange.
Lord. Yep, they mentioned that as he was pulling into the pits when he retired. So both cars are now an engine down.
Yeah. They're going to get penalties before the end of the year.
Oh, it's inevitable.
Yeah.
That's not good news. I mean, it has been put forward that a fifth engine, fifth power unit, could be used, because if there were 21 races in the season, as there were when the calendar was first put out, there would have been 5 power units.
Yeah.
But when it got dropped to 20, there's now 4, and now we've lost Germany, we're down to 19. So,
I mean, that's going to happen, because it's down to the FIA's say so.
It is.
All the teams have to agree to it.
Yeah, but it's been put forward, as far as I know. But it hasn't been agreed by anyone yet.
That's like asking a 10-year-old if they want Power Rangers.
Yeah, you know, of course. Kids voting for chocolate, I think Martin Brundle called it. But yeah, I mean, McLaren are having still having a terrible time of it. They were quicker today than they were in Australia. There weren't the 5 seconds a lap down that we saw them.
In all honesty, I think there's a lot of positives for McLaren this weekend.
Yeah, Jenson Button was quite happy that he said the car felt better than it did in Australia. He said the cars that were ahead of us weren't that much faster than us. It was refreshing to not see the Lotuses and the Saubers vanishing off into the distance. And
although there was the Button being passed by Perez when Button had his DRS over.
That was embarrassing. Button had DRS, then passed Perez just before the zone, and Perez managed to put himself back alongside Jensen Button, and Button was supposedly had the inverted commas advantage.
After Fernando went out, quick note that Button was within a second of the laps Vettel was doing at one point during that race.
So less than a second, you're talking pace that most of the other cars have been doing.
Yeah, yeah.
From, you know, less than a second from the leaders.
I still find it a shock that we're talking about it being a positive for McLaren to be on a par with the mid-grid teams.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, but it's
chasing mediocrity at the minute.
They are, but I mean, if we believe the stories and the press and everybody at McLaren and Honda who's coming out smiling and nodding, yes, it's very good. This is development season for them, and by the end of the season, they expect to have full use of their Honda engines Because I still don't think they turn the wick right up on those.
No, no. Well,
apparently, if McLaren is to be believed, they've got an extra 150 horsepower,
which will put them pretty much on par with Mercedes and Ferrari today. Yeah. So, again, reusing that Jensen soundbite, not going to win the first race, might win the last. Mm-hmm. We'll see as the season progresses.
But just got to wonder what he's doing with his top lip, though.
Yeah.
It can't be aerodynamic.
No, it can't be. It's probably not good for. You know, for image. Pit stops as well. Well, you'll see it's good work if they're not good for image. But if I don't know about anybody else, but if I find like an extra few hairs above my lip, I always find my tongue's playing with them and like subconsciously I'm rolling my lips on them. Well, if he's doing that in the car, you should shave it off and concentrate.
Shave it off, it might get another half second a lap.
Yeah, but you never know.
Then again, he did call it a moustache, so does that mean we now have to call him Jensen Button?
Jensen Button.
The other thing to think about McLaren is, just quickly, they made up a gap in that race when they were held up under the safety car. No, they were a good chunk behind Force India and the cars in front of them at one point because of their manner not keeping up the safety car. So in Australia, they wouldn't have closed that gap.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it would be interesting to know where they'd have ended up if they hadn't have had to make that, like, 10 seconds up, or whatever it was, before they started trying to move forward. Because I've got a funny feeling they'd have been with the Toro Rossos if they'd done that, and up there with the... Because I think they're on a pace par with Red Bull.
Mm-hmm. But looking at what they've got to do for the future, certainly from the next race, try and get a full race distance out of both cars.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've still got the powertrain issues with both of them retiring for different means. Is Jensen's first engine that he used this weekend salvageable? Still no word from Honda over the Alonso Magnussen cars engine that Magnussen lost in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get the reliability out of the three engines that they've got left for each car, will we see them challenging for points or podiums?
Wouldn't it be a terrible thing, though, if the... Let's just say, for argument's sake, that they can catch up with... Like, what I think is a realistic target for them is catching up with Williams. Wouldn't it be shit if they get all the way up there to the pack where they're caught up with Williams and they've got to essentially have a grid drop every other race because they need to keep getting new engines? You know, what if they... by the time they've fixed their problems, they've just got no engines left.
That is a very realistic possibility, and it could be a case of, yes, we've got the speed, yes, we've got the power, yes, we've got the grid position, oh, hang on, we've just lost that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a frustrating season for them. There's no two ways of looking at it. It's going to be hard. As a long-time F1 fan, McLaren have always been there, at the top.
Yeah, thereabouts.
Or thereabouts. And I'm really hoping that they're back there sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
On to the last half team to take part today, Manor. One car on track, one car in bits. Six bits, apparently, according to Ted Kravitz, just before the race.
Six bits.
The car was in six bits. That may have been just before qualifying.
The front, the back, the two sides, the roof and the floor.
Could well be. Yep, his car was in six bits in the garage.
Okay. You can still see the IKEA stickers on part of it.
Yeah, possibly and the stickle bricks that were holding it together.
No, you've got to lick the sides.
No, massive improvement because they actually managed to get two cars out at one point during practice.
They did, and Stevens was actually quite quick. Will Stevens, not Uli.
Oh.
Manor said it was a fuel pump issue with his car, which leads me to think, didn't they have another one?
They probably didn't. They're probably not carrying so many spares with them at the moment.
Yeah.
Trying to fix everything they can, and it might not have been a fixable problem. Mm. But great credit to the team to actually get Roberto Meri to the end of the race. It's, you know, when you consider that where they've come from, where they are now, they've made more progress this season than McLaren have.
Yeah. That's a scary thought.
I've got an interesting story about Marussia. Yeah, you know when the team was up for sale, essentially.
Yeah, they had the auction online, ready to view and everything.
Do you know what happened to the computers? This is why they have they're having such a problem putting the car together.
Were they bought by Gene Haas?
No, they wiped everything because everything was for sale. iPads, hard drives, laptops. The reason they can't put the car together is because they literally haven't got the drawings anymore to do it. So they're essentially trying to put the cars back together through memory.
And blindness.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was amazed when I found that out.
Yeah, does this bit go here? Do you remember the McLaren promotional video they did a few years ago where Lewis and Jensen walked into the garage before they unveiled the new car? And it was just a skeleton of a car, and the mechanics went, there you go, handed them the spanners and walked off.
Yeah.
And left Lewis and Jensen to build the car by themselves. And
it now appears to be happening for real.
Yeah, it does. But it was hilarious. Lewis
How
was like,
much would you pay for Mercedes to do that now with Rosberg and Hamilton?
Quite funny, I think. Yeah. There you go, you two build the car. I mean, Lewis would just throw the spanners at Nico and walk off.
It'd be like Thunderdome. Two men enter, one man leaves.
Yeah, you sure you want to leave those two in a room with nobody else and a pair of spanners?
Well, no, they are the
they are a pair of spanners. And we've just lost all our Mercedes fans. Bye bye, both of you. So there's been some penalty points applied to licences in the race. Unsurprisingly, Maldonado now leaves the penalty chart with 8 points on his super licence.
Yeah, he's got to be really careful the next... Well, I don't know when he got his first Scotia points, but did you say it was over a 12-month period?
Yeah, they have it like over a rolling 12 months, so...
So he's on 8 in a rolling 12 months.
Yeah, as soon as you get 12 within a 12-month period, then you get banned for a race.
Well, then when he got his first, then? Because that's what it would dictate it, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I've been really lazy and haven't actually looked that up, but I'll try and find something for the website for that.
Yeah,
but I can see him getting a ban this year.
Not just him, I can see other drivers getting a ban. I mean, it was spoken about last year, and I don't think anybody did actually get a one race ban, did they?
No, because they only brought the system in last year, and obviously with it being the first 12 months, if anybody actually racked up 12 points...
In the first 12 months,
then the question would have to be not how long are they going to get banned for, it's who's replacing them because they are not fit to drive the car.
Yeah, you would have to say that you'd end up in the same situation with Ricardo Rosso. just plowing into many cars.
Rosso the Tossit.
Yeah.
on the other hand, the one thing we have to watch is, though, it's like Magnussen, for instance. Magnussen last year got a lot of penalties, and I think... It started to get a little bit unfair. You know, it would come to a penalty, but because Magnussen was involved, he got it. I think Roman had the same thing at one point as well, but then he tried to drive through Alonso's head. So
yeah, I think with some drivers, the reputation precedes them, so they try to run over it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the 3 points that Maldonado got today for his slow under the safety car puts him onto 8. So
yeah.
He really is actually only looking at two more stop-go penalties in the next two or three races.
Which, given Pastor Maldonado, is entirely likely.
Yeah, and he's going to be out.
He was lucky the steward's decision on whose fault his accident was didn't swing Maldonado's way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he could already be on more.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but that was... When he got the puncture, that was... it was a silly manoeuvre, really, but... Mm-hmm.
No, the drivers are going to have to be more careful. Perez and Hülkenberg finished with 2 points on their super licences for their separate incidents today.
Well, as we said, Forcing you had a terrible race today, and it's not.
I don't think that we need to worry really about Hülkenberg and arguably Perez as well, because they do tend to be quite sensible, good drivers.
Yeah, I mean these are Hülkenberg's first points. Perez has already got one hanging over from last season. But I think Maldonado, as much as we joke, he is going to be the first ban under the totting up scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the only thing that'll save him is time, isn't it? If he can manage not to have anything happen between now and when this first sculpture points are wiped.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's going to be a case of get your head down, concentrate, race, don't hit anyone, don't do anything stupid.
If it's a 12-month roll, I wonder if it goes from the first one, well, and then it refreshes, or does it go from your last? So, because he got points today, Does that mean all his points last for 12 months?
No, it goes from the first points he gets after 12 months, they're wiped from the record.
There you go, but he'll still have
so 12. But he'll still have today's points.
Right, okay.
And then 12 months a day, those points will...
What a really awkward system. It should just be 2 years. No, 2 seasons. If you, you know, if you, every 2 years... The,
like a rolling 2 seasons.
Yeah, yeah, every two seasons, your points get cleared. It would seem to be much more sensible, that.
I think there's pros and cons either way, and as per usual with F1 rules and regulations, that's probably subject to change on the toss of a coin from Bernie and
Joe. Well, Bernie said if you don't get any points over 3 years, he'll give you red turtle shells.
I think Maldonado's already using those secretly. He's found a hack. Well, that's about all we've got time for this week. We will, of course, be posting regularly on the website as well. And you can tweet us at 3legs4wheels.
And I'm at flood21.
I'm at Lee_drummer.
And my normal one is at Pablo100. We'll be back next week, and we'll be looking at everything that's coming out in the news. And we'll be previewing the next race.
Yes.
So until then, we will see you soon.
Well done, valet!
Bye-bye.